Welcome to the How I Scaled Service podcast. I'm Caitlin Stremple, founder and CEO of Rising Ranks Digital. We help service-based businesses get to the top of their industry by getting found online. We believe that you have a message that someone needs to hear, and that message can impact the world. Are you interested in becoming our next podcast guest? Stick around to the end and we'll tell you how you can do just that. Enjoy the show.
Hey, 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 everyone. Happy Wednesday. Happy hump day. Thank you so much for tuning back into How I Scale Service podcast. I am your host, Genesis Amaris-Kemp. And today we're going to be talking with Calvin Yadav. And he's going to tell us about his business, how he got started. And we're just going to have a fun, fluid conversation. Welcome, Calvin.
Thank you. How are you today?
I'm doing well. And yourself?
We'll try and make it. You're probably going to hear some planes flying over my house because I live very close to the airfield and I was starting to get my flying license before the crazy world came on to us and everything got shut down. But I got my vaccine. I got vaccinated. So now I'm on a jump back onto the airfield and get my license. So yeah, life is good. That was a very long answer, but life is good. Let's just say that.
That's great. Because, hey, as long as we wake up to see another day, we're above ground, life is good.
Absolutely. Another day to achieve the goals and, like, you know, make this world a better place, I guess.
Yeah. So tell me about your business, the name of your business, where you're located.
Yeah, so one of the companies that I'm based in San Diego in Southern California, in the sunny San Diego, yes. But my headquarters of my company is in Virginia. When a lot of people actually ask me that, where's your company located? And I always tell them, I didn't see this pandemic coming, but I saw the trend of the world coming, and we are a 100% remote company. I do not tell my employees where they should live and what they should commute and all that. So we are 100% remote company. So that's the basis part. The Virginia is the official headquarters near DC. We are a global remote company and we work in the artificial intelligence world, pure software developers. We have very smart people with PhDs, double PhDs, scientists. And they all selected me to be their leader, which I don't know sometimes why, because they're definitely smarter than I am, but it is what it is.
Hey, I wouldn't say they're smarter than you. They just have different qualities and levels of intelligence, but you have your own sense of brilliance. And the fact that they chose you obviously says something about you. So you're obviously doing something right that caused them to gravitate towards you. And as we all know, artificial intelligence, AI, is definitely, you know, moving ways and changing things. So can you tell us about what positioned you to get into artificial intelligence and the business as a whole? And then does your business tackle RPA too?
Yes. So the whole artificial intelligence, I want to divide the answer into like sort of like two parts, right? There's a society part and then there's a technology part, right? So coming from a tech world, I'm an engineer myself. I'm a mechanical engineer, and coming into the software world and like leading companies in the software side, and especially AI, what happens is that the only way a technology can move forward and work for us humans is if we break it, if we take it to a point where we can test it, where we see the impacts of it. And then those impacts goes to my second part of the answer, which is the society part, that we don't want to stop innovation on the basis of fear. However, we want to fuel innovation on the basis of opportunities, what it can do for our society and all that. And I know there's a level of like a political part also, considering what America is going through right now. We have a political part of like how society and people looks at artificial intelligence and AI modules, and they like to generalize what AI is in general. However, there are multiple different software that goes under AI that actually makes this world a much, much better, safer place and well-connected place. So that's where we are right now as a company, where we focuses on making our infrastructure a little bit more smarter, a little bit more safer. For example, earlier before the interview, we were talking that how we have roots into Europe and Asian countries. And if you notice that, because initially their infrastructure was behind the Western society, so in the recent time they had chance to come up with newer and more modern infrastructure, they kind of overtaking sort of a US side, because we had such a well-established infrastructure in the past that it's much harder to build a new one. And they had an opportunity to build infrastructure from scratch, which could be up to the latest technology and latest standards. Where in the US, we are a little bit behind. So we're trying to do our little part into that, and we're trying to change that, bringing artificial intelligence into our smart cities, our government part, our society part, our medical part, and different type of modules that we have developed. And we just awarded number one by NIST for our AI module in the United States. And I'm not going to name, but we beat it some $1 trillion companies. And we are just above a startup, I would say.
That's amazing, because it definitely shows, I think, with your background coming in as a mechanical engineer and partnering with other people, because in order to be a successful business, you need to build partnerships that complement, not necessarily compete. And you do have some competitive advantage that gave you a leg up in regards to that company that is a $1 trillion company. Even though you're just a startup, you're not just a startup, you're definitely disrupting the atmosphere for you to hold an award where you came in number one. And I also want to just dig a little bit deep there, because artificial intelligence, you're doing incredible things to change the space that we currently are in. And that's amazing. But I like how you broke it down and say it's not just, technology, and it's not just societal, but it sounded like they have to work together in order to be extraordinary. Did I get that right? Or am I stretching?
No. You actually nailed, you said it better than I did. And just to give you an example of the partnership, the two parts, and just to pull the thread on what you just said, for example, we partner with DHS, right? And I decided that my company, IREX, we will give our technology for free. Literally, we didn't even try to make money out of it. And we gave them for free for finding missing children. Because I became a father recently, and if I can even help one child with my technology, I don't want to find one child, and with my technology, I don't want to make money off that kind of stuff. And this is another part of the two part, the society and the technology. Just because we have a good technology, there are other ways to make money. Don't get us wrong. I am a very pro-capitalistic person. I believe in all of those things. And I believe we are a for-profit company, but at the same time, we can do our part and making this world a better place. So we partner with DHS, and we're helping to find over 500,000 kids in America that goes missing. And our fight against human trafficking and finding missing children is because we cannot rely on human network anymore. We need a little bit of technology's help to find these kids much faster. And that's a perfect shell answer of the partnership, society, and we playing our role as a technology leaders and bringing this disruptive technology to our society.
That's beautiful, Calvin. And I like that. So I want to go into, what is your business mission and the passion behind the mission? Because I hear, as you're talking about community, and then the fact that you now just became a father, it's tugging at your heartstrings to do more to help, find children that are missing. But I'm sure there's more that's being involved in your mission, as well as the passion behind the mission. And it's part of maybe your core values that you want to make sure gets exhibited throughout the business.
Yes, and let's just say I've been around this block a few times, you know, working for a big corporation and all that. So when we were building IREX, our company, I didn't want to be the guy who come in and tell people what to think and what to believe in. So I actually ran a strategy session because with my past experience, I run strategy sessions for public traded companies and et cetera, et cetera. So I knew that you want to bring people in, you want to empower people into setting our visions and our mission statement and who we are and who we're trying to be as a company and as people. So yes, I personally, I believe, and this is, I forgot who told me this long time ago, but I personally believe that we're all writing a book as in the sense of our lives. And one day somebody going to pick up my book, my grandkids or great grandkids. And obnoxious as it sounds, but I want them to read something great about me, that I did something and, you know, to make this world a better place than what I came in. And as my team members, my employees and my all the engineers, we believe in the same values, that we want technology to work for us, for humans. We don't want to replace human intelligence. We want to make human intelligence much bigger and better. So as a company, really our mission is that every child, every parent, every grown-up deserve a safer environment to achieve their lifelong dreams. And we as a company, me, myself as a leader, I want to just play my little role. So that's genuinely our mission is in this world.
I like that. So if I would summarize that, it would be, one, you're compassionate. Two, you want artificial intelligence to strengthen human intelligence, and it's going to work in partnership. It's going to complement. Another thing is that you want to build your legacy and your empire to pave the way for future generations to come. So whenever your family or other people are coming up, they see what you did, when you did it, and how it changed the world. And by you changing the world with your company, as well as your employees, that's where you are leaving your digital imprint. That's where you're leaving your impact. And the fruits of your labor are going to produce an abundance of harvest. So as we begin to wind down, I'm going to dig a little bit deeper, Calvin. So rock with me here.
No worries.
And I want you to tell the listeners, what tips do you have for someone who is aspiring to walk into entrepreneurship, who is aspiring to leave that corporate job to do something that brings them more joy, more peace, and more fulfillment, because they no longer want to continue to build someone else's brand and sleep on their dreams?
That's a very deep question. So I'm going to take a breath in. I wish you would have. I would have known you're going to go that deep. But yes, I'm going to rock with you, as you said. I really think the journey starts from within you. I genuinely had that step, and I'm sitting in my office right now, and I can actually tell you the conversation I had with my wife, and where it just became so clear that the universe was telling me, dude, just count your coins and believe in yourself. Because it is scary. It is scary because, you know, we become parents and we become like used to our lives. And, you know, so giving up like a very secure and very lucrative jobs and very lucrative health insurance and paying a mortgage. And like, you know, we're living in Southern California and all that, and leaving all that behind and taking a chance was actually, I going back to the conversation with my wife, the journey that started within, the reflection within us that, okay, if I will not take the chance on myself, then how can I ask my kids and them to like believe in themselves? So it's just taking the universe telling me to be a leader and be a role model. And again, I am a very honest person. I'm the first person to raise hand and ask question. And I think that's why all my team members believes in me as their leader. And that's the first step, I would say, to your deeper question, that how people should look at it. Reflect upon yourself, you know, meditate on it, write about it, and you will find the answer. And be comfortable in living in a world of uncertainty. Because I'm telling you, first 60% of your effort, you will not know what results they're bringing. It's genuinely, that's how it is. Because, but after the 60%, the big mo, you know, as Darren Hardy said, the momentum starts building up and then you're skyrocketing. So you got to power through that uncertainty of the first 60% of your journey. And then you will find partners and other believers in your journey, and they'll help you to boost up. And have your mission and your purpose very clearly, and find the other people on the same path as you, I would say. And it will all start from you, within you, to find the answer, honestly speaking.
Those are really great tips. So for you listeners, first, Calvin says you have to self-reflect. Practice self-awareness, whether you need to write the vision and make it plain, whether you need to meditate on it, or whether you need to develop your SMART goals to get you from where you currently are to where you want to be. Look within yourself. And as you begin to look within yourself, you're going to build partnerships with people who truly believe in what you have to offer, and allow those partnerships to cultivate you and drive you to the business that you are aspiring to build. And then another tip, Calvin, that I heard early on in the conversation is you have to be willing to learn as well as pivot, because you mentioned the pandemic and you mentioned that you didn't expect to be where you are. And you also mentioned that in the pre-chat, there may be planes flying above or whatnot because you live close to a base. So I was taking into account all of that, because if we didn't learn anything from last year, it is how to pivot and how to be willing to be uncomfortable and step outside of our comfort zone. And it's when we step outside of our comfort zone that we start to see things come into fruition. So those were really great nuggets. And I really just wanted to bring that up again for the listeners, because you have dropped some amazing gems that are going to help entrepreneurs as well as aspiring entrepreneurs to get up and do something. Don't wait for the stars to align. Use the resources and the tools that you have now. And as we begin to wrap down, the last question is, how do you attract and retain your clients? And two parts. How do you attract and retain your clients? And then what was your specific turning point for your business?
Turning point and, okay. There's something going to bug me. Can I finish the one more thought before that the agileness and the pivotness? It's basically, this story of pandemic, as much as we think in our lifetime, this is the first time we're seeing it. Trust me, this story has been before, like the 2008 crash and all these previous crises and crashes we have seen. And we're going to see how many good companies and great companies came out of this pandemic. So you're absolutely right. Let's just not let this pandemic slow us. Matter of fact, use that as a motivation to create new innovative technologies and a disruptive way of working. Now, back to your question that how do I basically navigate my or break into new markets, or what was my pivot point? Did I get that right?
Yeah. So what was your turning point for your business? And then how do you attract as well as retain your clients?
Yeah. So the attracting client is pretty simple. We call it like the design, designing a system, which is considered of basically discovering a problem. Right. And we never want it to be in a technology world where we have a product and then we're going and finding our customer. We discover the problems first and we were coming up with a solution for that. Then I would say the diagnose, because going back to your point of being agile, is that we diagnose the problem, meaning that what we probably thought once we created the technology, that's all it. This is fully packaged. Here you go. But no, we found out, oh, we need this, we need that. And then we were learners. We were learning it. And from my background of running corporate strategies, I learned that you gotta be okay to call your baby ugly. You know what I mean? Because your company, your technology is your baby, and you cannot take it personally, the feedback that you're getting. Then you redesign your business model and your solution, basically, or multiple solution. Maybe you have to split and all that. And we had to split also from public sector, how we are navigating and how we navigating in private sector. So, and the final is they deliver. Like you gotta deliver what you said. You gotta deploy your technology, because when we were starting, we're not a startup. We have passed that stage, actually, and of a startup, and we are self-sufficient, we're self-funded, we actually making sales, and the sales are paying the payrolls and all that, which is an ideal world for a startup to be in. You don't rely on anybody else's money, just your own. So we delivered that, because when we were starting, there were a lot of companies that were trying to do similar things as us, but they were failing into the delivery end. And we weren't. As I said, we won some awards and some recognition from that. And if I'll tell you a pivot, or like the turning point for us, was December 2020 last year. We decided to raise some money, and we were approaching for a $85 million valuation. And we decided to turn that down, actually. We were getting the money. And as much as it was hard for me to turn down that evaluation of $85 million, which we just started less than 12 months ago, what was happening was that we wanted to believe in ourselves. We thought, like, we think that once we create more traction and win bigger programs and projects, then this evaluation will go up, because we didn't needed the money at that time, because we were, as I said, we were self-funded and self-sufficient. So for me, that was a turning point, because now being in May, knowing that was the right decision to make, because as much as it hurts to turn down money for a startup, the changes that we made in our company and our business model, like are skyrocketing us to almost a double evaluation now. So I was very happy for that.
That is amazing, amazing. I learned so much from you in this short conversation, Calvin. So before we close, please let the listeners know the name of your business, what social media platforms you're on, and how to reach you.
Yeah, so we are, my company name is IREX, I-R-E-X, and the website is irex.ai. And we are on LinkedIn, we are on Twitter and all that. And we are actually having a webinar discussing, and we are leading the way of ethics in the United States on artificial intelligence on May 13th. And it will be on our LinkedIn and our website, all the details about the webinar. So please come and join. And we want to hear your feedback after the webinar too, that how we can win the society's trust in artificial intelligence.
Thank you so much, Calvin Yadav, and everyone. You've just listened to Calvin on How I Scale Service podcast. And until we chat next time, please stand by, Calvin.
Caitlin here. Thank you so much for listening to the How I Scaled Service podcast. If you're a business owner who has successfully scaled their business to multiple six figures or more, and you would like to be on this program, visit risingranksdigital.com/apply. And if you got something out of this interview, I would love for you to share it with your network. Just do a quick screenshot with your phone and text it to a friend, or post it on your social channels. If you know someone that would be a great guest, make sure to tag them to let them know about the show and include the hashtag #HowIScaledService. I love seeing your posts and your guest suggestions. We are regularly putting out new episodes and content. To make sure you don't miss any episodes, go ahead and subscribe. Your thumbs up, ratings, and reviews go a long way to help promote the show and truly mean a lot to my team and me. Want to stay in our world?
go to our website, risingranksdigital.com, or follow me on LinkedIn at Caitlin Strumpel, Facebook at Rising Ranks Digital, and Instagram at Caitlin Strumpel. Thanks for listening, and we will see you next time.